Thank you for listening to the City of Refuge Sermon Podcast, where our mission is equipping disciples of all nations to make disciples of all nations. Please visit us at cityofrefuge.org.
Well, we've got a guest preacher teacher today. He's probably no stranger to some of you. It's Joanna Nathan's dad, Dr. Sentil Nathan. He's here from Abu Dhabi, and I'm not one for like really long introductions, but I do need to clear up something. Because we've gotten the habit of this Christianese. So he's a tent-making leader, lay leader as church. He's a tent-making leader. And so if you've read the Bible, you know that Paul was a tent-maker as well. He literally was a tent-maker. He made tents. Dr. Nathan doesn't literally make tents, all right? So if you're saying, hey, I'm going camping next week, can you make me a tent? A tent-making missionary or leader or pastor means that they are bivocational. They have other employment. They get their income from another job. And so he's a leading educator in UAE, United Arab Emirates, and he graduated from Rice University. And in 1993, those Rice folks here, he and his wife felt this call from God to go back to Abu Dhabi to plant this church focused on reaching migrant workers and other non-Christians from the Indian subcontinent. And since 1995, this congregation has grown from 50 folks to over 400 members. And they led over 1,000 people to accept the Lord Jesus and obey him in the waters of baptism during these years. So would you help me to welcome Dr. Nathan this morning?
Good morning. You know, when you have a lively worship, and when you read the Bible as it is, I think that's, we really don't need any preaching. They have done most of the work. Amen? It's wonderful to be here in Houston again. And I just want to quickly get into the Word of God. In your Christian walk, as it is in mine, there are times when you wonder, when you feel unsure, sometimes timid. That happens to me. I'm not sure about you. You sometimes get afraid. I've been a Christian a long time. I come from a Hindu family. I was brought up as an atheist, and God's grace found me. I did not go after him. His love found me. Still, there are times, and some of you may be going through that time now, that you don't quite understand why you are here, what you're doing on earth. And for a season, you may be without a passion or a power and a purpose. You may feel that you are kind of drifting in the wind. So I mean, too many problems, too much of distractions, too much of materialism, just crowds and clouds, you from hearing the still, small voice of the Holy Spirit. And the portion we read from 2 Timothy, probably the young man, young pastor Timothy, was going through that season. And Paul is trying to rekindle that fire and the flame and the purpose for which Timothy was called and you and I have been called. Verse 9 says, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. And I'll read from the Message Bible. We can only keep on going, after all, by the power of God, who first saved us and then called us to this holy work. We had nothing to do with it. It was all his idea, a gift prepared for us in Jesus long before we knew anything about it. But we know it now. So I just want to talk to you a little bit, a few minutes, about this holy calling. Bible says very clearly it is not our choosing. It is his holy calling. Amen? I think your amen could help me. Amen. So that I don't think it's just me. So what does this mean? a few months back, maybe in sometime in early April. That's before Pastor Ricky wrote to me, asking me to share the word. One morning, the Holy Spirit woke me up about an hour earlier than I normally get up. A verse came into my thoughts. I know whom I believed. I just couldn't sleep. I woke up. As my practice, I knelt down to the side of my bed and I opened the Bible to see where it is. I did not know in my head. And the Spirit of God asked me to read the whole portion. I did. But a few months before, I'd been going through this self-doubt. Is what I am doing worth it? Am I doing it on my own? Does anybody care? All kinds of issues. And when I read that portion, the first part is just blew my mind. I don't know if it blows your mind. Paul says, the Spirit of God says there through Paul, this calling, do you get it? It was done before ages began. Your calling, it's not an afterthought. It's not after, I stand before you. I have nothing to do with it. All my previous generations were idol worshippers. Nothing to do with Christ. I had never set my foot in a formal church until I was 20 years old. Clearly, I had nothing to do with it. Even if you're coming from a Christian background, you have nothing to do with it. Your parents have nothing to do with this. This was planned, purposed, before ages began. Amen? Before the earth was formed. It's amazing. And when that hit me, for the next 10 minutes, I just wept. I don't understand this, Lord. It's not about me. It's not about my smartness or lack of it. It's not about my strength or power or qualifications. It's nothing to do with me. It's not about my parents. It's not about my money. It's not about my race, religion, language, nothing. Amen? It's all about him. And he decided. When I read that, when it started sinking to me, and he says, holy calling. This is not something casual. This is not something, your pastor or elder, they kind of figured out and say, okay, why don't you do this? This is from a holy God, an awesome God. Amen? And he decided this. The very reason you are sitting today here is because he decided in Christ Jesus that you'll be washed by the blood of his son and you'll be redeemed and you'll come to this place today. Amen? So this, as I started getting refreshed that early morning, then and there, when the Lord said, you have nothing to do with this calling, I told him, Lord, I will not question anymore. Is it really me you are calling? Or can somebody else do what I am doing? I'm not going to do this anymore. Those questions were settled in my spirit. And the Lord wants those questions to be settled in your spirit as well. You are designed for a purpose. You are called by him before the ages began. Amen? Amen? And the real problem, as I see it, many of us are still stuck in Old Testament church mode. The Old Testament, there was a tribe, there was a group of people, Levites, who were called to minister to the Lord. It was outsourced to them. The other 11 tribes can go have fun, and these guys have to do all the work. In the New Testament church, there's no such thing. Amen? Amen? There is no special tribe of priests. There is no one, no group has been separated to minister to the Lord. If you turn with me to 1 Peter 2nd chapter verse 9, Peter addresses the whole church, the entire church, the church at large. He says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Amen? He is not talking to pastor and elders. He is talking to the entire church. Every single believer. Amen? You are a chosen race. And you are a royal priesthood. So you and I have to understand this holy calling is as a royal priesthood, as a holy nation. It is because we have been called out from the darkness. We sang all these songs today, wonderful. Out of darkness into this marvelous light, only to proclaim his praises, his goodness, his excellencies to others still in darkness. In our church back in Abu Dhabi, whenever we lead people into baptism, and they come up, next thing we say, now you have to go and preach. There's no time for Bible class. All that should happen on the side by side, you have to start preaching. You have to start reaching out. The only reason, think about it, if all that the Lord has done for me on the cross and out of the grave is for me to get to heaven, when I go into my waters of baptism, I don't have to get up. Yeah? I can just simply go to heaven. Why? Why do I come out of the tank? Heaven is settled. My eternal future is settled. Right? There's no more I need to do. I mean, I don't have to earn anything. It's all done. Yes? So why am I getting up? I tell them, look, the only reason why you are getting up now is to go preach. Bring others to Christ. No other reason. Not for your prosperity. Not for bringing up your own kids. Not for amassing wealth. That's all really secondary. That can happen. That's incidental. Amen? So as I read the New Testament, and thankfully I was brought to Christ by a missionary organization. So from day one, as soon as we were born again, we were sent to villages, small towns to preach. And whatever, I didn't even read the Bible once. I have not been to a theological seminary. That's no excuse. You can teach. A blind man said, I don't know what you all talk about. I was blind, but now I see. That's it. Amen? And that has brought many, many to Christ. So let's moving on. Now, if you understand that this holy calling is all from God, which Bible says, which has nothing to do with you, what do I do? Then shall I just go to a little slumber? I mean, God ordained it. I got to do it. I just have to hang around. No, verse 12 says, and I think we need to get it again inside our spirit. Verse 12, Paul says, but I am not ashamed. Amen? I am not ashamed. I live in a country where when we went back to Abu Dhabi, you hear all kinds of things about Middle East. The last 10 years, number of Christians in the Middle East, in the Gulf countries, has more than tripled. And we are committed, we have been called to pray for a true revival in the Middle East. Many parts of the world, as you know, Paul and Peter, they all went westward, and then the gospel came around to the East, Korea, Japan, now today, the last 15 years in China. Revival has broken in many, many parts of the world, but not in the Middle East. Historically, Middle East meaning the Arab world, the Muslim world today. And we believe strongly God is going to do it in our lifetime, in my lifetime. And we bend our knees and we pray. And this is a struggle. What's going on is a struggle before God's revival breaks through. And we see the fire, revival fire comes out. But no matter where I have a secular life as well, I move with the sheikhs and ministers and so on. It's a place where you can be intimidated. You can hesitate to share the gospel. But like Paul says here, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Amen? Let me read from the Amplified Bible. For I know him, meaning, and I am personally acquainted with him. I know him whom I have believed with absolute trust and confidence in him and in the truth of his deity. And I am persuaded beyond any doubt that he is able to guard that which I have entrusted to him until that day when I stand before him. The holy calling has been made by him. But also, it's equally important to know for you and me who called us to this holy calling. I'll tell you why. If I think pastor or elders call me to do something, it's one way I can figure out, oh, maybe they know me, they know my strength, maybe they don't. But if I believe God himself called me, Pastor Ricky briefly touched on it in 1993 when we came back to Houston. Joanna was 2 years old when we came back to settle down. As soon as I landed here, we packed everything off in the Middle East, we came back. As soon as I opened my suitcase, the Lord spoke to me. I could hear, you have to go back. This is not your place. I had no guts, no courage to tell my wife. How am I going to tell her? We even had a farewell in our church. They gave us I'm not going to go back to that church. Oh, So for 1 week, I could not speak. I could not say anything to her. I couldn't even look at her face. A week later, God knows my weakness. Jesse, my wife, came to me and said, Senthil, you shouldn't be upset. And what I'm going to say. What's that? The Lord says we have to go back. Amen? When he said that, our folks, our church, pastors, elders, they did not speak to us. Our Lord spoke to us. When we knew it was his call, we knew he will make everything all right. Amen? And that's true with every one of you. It's not, God may use people. God may use the pastor and the elders to give you some assignment. If you think they are asking you to do something, it doesn't work. If you believe God has called you, and if you know who you have believed, then things get so easy. Amen? The mission of our church in Abu Dhabi is to know him and to make him known. Theology and evangelism are two sides of the same coin. Amen? And after I prepared the message, when I came, I saw this mission and vision. Just that. The first, your mission is to grow, to equip, to know him more. But you stay there, you're going to be headstrong. The vision is growing Christ's kingdom one person at a time. Amen? In very practical terms, you can tell me whenever I have to stop. Huh? In very practical terms, I read something. I go next day to teach, share, to bring somebody. You know what? I learned this verse even more. I read and get my degrees, doctorate, whatever. And when I come and preach, I have questions. I don't know what I'm saying. Right? Learning, knowing God, and doing ministry. This is the best way, and which means I have to keep growing and I have to make others come to Christ. This is the way the power of God is demonstrated. Bible says, and Jesus himself said that, yeah, the word we preach, this is not education as it is in university. This is not science, engineering. I'm a scientist and engineer. When I teach in a class, I don't have passion, I just teach. But here, whatever we teach from the word, it comes alive in real life. Amen? Amen? So it's growing Christ's kingdom one person at a time. That's that and the mission, they have to go hand in hand. And how can I make this happen? How can I make this holy calling really effective? So my challenge to myself and yourself is, do you really believe? There's a wonderful song the worship group sang. They said 6 times, believe. It's not a confession of faith, wonderful. Confessing this with our lips is wonderful in songs. But what Paul says, I know in whom I believed. Right? When you're stuck in a situation, when you have people standing against you, do you really know who you believe? Amen? Or you get scared. When Paul wrote this, he was in chains. He was in his last days. He was going to be martyred. And he says, I am not ashamed. I am not afraid. Because I know in whom I believe. Amen? Because the person who called you and me is a holy God. Amen? Are you personally acquainted with this holy God? That's the question. Paul says he is the one who calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Amen? Sometimes in the West, we get into too much of intellectualism. But this is what it's meant. Many years back, 30 plus years back, when I went to the frontline missionary station in a tribal place in India, the missionary who led me, he just opened my eyes. This guy, his name is from a Catholic background, a guy called Robert. From alcoholism and drugs, he lost most of his lung. He was given 1 week to live. A very simple guy, from a village, came and knocked at the door, and this guy hated God and all this stuff, Robert. This guy knocked the door and said, can I pray for you? Go away. No, I'm praying for you. You're going to be healed. 2-3 days later, Robert went back for his final checkup. It's one of the best hospitals in India, which is collaborating with Johns Hopkins. And this guy took the last x-ray, and he couldn't believe. He ran around and asked for one more x-ray. What was missing? The whole liver was there. And we think we intellectualize Christianity too much. When Paul says, he calls things that do not exist as though they did, that indeed is true. Amen? You may not have power, wisdom, smartness, but you can be the most eloquent preacher if God sends you there. Amen? So he can create things. And Paul knew whom he believed. Can we turn to Colossians 1st chapter? I think we even sang some of this today. Verses 15 through 20. Colossians 1, 15 to 20. I mean, that's the God he knew. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. When you serve this awesome God, when you think of his greatness, his glory, his might, his goodness, his love, when you think about it, you begin to serve with passion, with conviction. Meditating upon his greatness is not the job for just the worship team. It is for all of us. And it is not meant to be done for half an hour on Sunday morning. Worship continues. Because the more I think of him, the more I think of his grandeur, his majesty, the more I can lead my life, daily life, with conviction, with power. I don't have to run on my own. That's what Paul says, I know in whom I believed. Amen? So this faith is the response to his holy calling. I know his holy calling rests on every one of your heads from before the ages began. How do I receive it? I believe. I believe. I receive. I have faith that this God who called me is able to do it. Amen? My faith is a response to his holy calling. Your faith makes his calling come alive and come true in our life. The eternal God was and is the initiator of your faith walk and calling. When I have faith, I have conviction and courage. With the faith, I can see beyond my present circumstances, weakness or hurdles. When I was praying this morning, and when you sang that song, I believe hundreds of missionaries will go out of this church to all parts of the world. I really believe. It's not anything anybody will do, God will do it. Amen? You will see this yourself. Many will go to proclaim his praises all around the nations. In faith, you begin to see that suffering for the gospel in the light of the power of God that works in you. Every hurdle that comes my way, they look small when I look at him. Right? So I'm going to pray. And I will pray for myself and you. Lord, give me the grace to share the gospel to one person at a time. Lord, give me the wisdom to bring one person to his kingdom one at a time. Give me the burden, Lord. I don't have to look at anyone else for inspiration or comparison or competition. I will not think it is someone else's job. If you place somebody along my way, that is my job. And you're giving me that job to share the gospel. Lord, I don't need a special vision. Therefore, go is a mandate, the mission you have already given. Give me the conviction, Lord, that I won't think I am not wise enough, I am not eloquent enough to share the gospel with my colleague or friend. I was blind and now I see. That's all I need to share. Lord, I don't need to do your job. You already finished your job at the cross for the person I'm going to share the gospel. I don't need any special power. Holy Spirit, you have all the power. You will take my simple words and make them all powerful. I don't need to convince or convict. That is your job, Holy Spirit. You will precisely do what you promised to do. I just need to do my job. I have to be available with a heart of compassion. And with sincere prayers, I have to simply be ready and willing to speak the word of God's love. Amen? If you're embarrassed or ashamed to share the gospel, why is that? You sometimes think, will people think I'm narrow-minded or dumb or irrational? There's a lot of stereotype about Christians, evangelicals in this country. You don't have to worry about it. We are the smartest people on earth. Amen? We know what's good for us and what's good for other people in eternity. Do I think that I'm not successful enough, rich enough, powerful enough, in the world to command respect for the gospel that rescued me from the pits of hell. Lord, open my understanding, eyes of understanding, so I can also proclaim. Paul said this, "But I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." So I end this with a short testimony. When I came to Rice many years ago, 1983, I was very active in ministry in India. The Lord brought me here. I was struggling. Why am I here? I had a roommate just not too far from here on Bissonnette. He was, we were just a roommate. We were both doing PhD. And he was a Brahmin, priestly class of Hindu. And you don't even talk to them. They were the ones who created. This is like talking to a Levite, talking to Saul. So I didn't even bother. Then the Lord started impressing on me. He used to wake up early in the morning, 6 a.m. and go. I would kneel down next to his bed and touch his bed and pray. I don't know why I did that. Finally, one day he asked me, I see that you don't go to school right away in the morning. You sit and pray. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? He started asking. I said, yes. And he said, I don't mind that. But do you believe he's the only way? He said, it's not that not only I believe, that's what Jesus himself said. I am the way. This man was a very nice guy. He got so mad. He slammed the door on me and left. I thought it was finished. That weekend, as I was getting ready to go to church here, he said, can I come with you to church? So I did not know what to say. I brought him to church. That evening, he said, I really liked Pastor Dennis. Does he also believe like you that Jesus is the only way? He just wanted a convenient excuse. He's one of the ways. Hindus have 3 million gods. 3 million plus one doesn't matter. That's what he wanted from me. I said, yes, Pastor Dennis also believes the Bible and what Jesus himself said. And he just put his head down and he went into his room. I thought that's finished. Next Sunday, before I got ready, he got ready for the church. Next 3 months, he kept coming. At the end of 3 months, he gave his life to Christ. And why I'm saying, even when you and I don't believe, God can work. Amen? I really believed for that one person. I spent about 7 years here. For that one person, if I had to spend 7 years here, that's worth it. Amen? And that one person is probably in your office, in your workplace, in your family. That one person. Bring him to Christ. Amen? And you will see the word of God, the worship and the prayers come alive when one person comes to Christ through your simple words. Amen? So I want to finish here. Pastor, you want to lead us in prayer? Shall we all stand up for a minute? Lord, we thank you. Jesus, you are alive and you are walking among us. Spirit of God, you are moving. Father, your grace is operating in this church on each one of us. Thank you for your holy calling. And we receive, Lord, with faith. And each one of us, we want to know you more in our lives, in our personal life. Starting on Monday, we want to see you come alive in our daily life. I pray, Lord, for everyone in this room that there will be a radical faith, a radical transformation, that my God can do anything. And a special anointing and a burden, as Paul had, a constraining love to share the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray.